The following message is copyrighted by Westminster Theological Seminary. Duplication, distribution, or other use of all or any part of this message is not permitted without prior written consent. Please direct your inquiries to communications@wts.edu. For all other information, please visit the main website at www.wts.edu.
As you know, the work that I did called The Shepherd Leader focuses on that wonderful shepherding metaphor in the Bible for leadership and how that provides a comprehensive matrix for ministry, for the functions of knowing, feeding, leading, and protecting the flock. And as I've reflected on those functions and on that work, another great concern has come to mind, which is not highlighted in an extraordinary way in that book for sure, but something I've been thinking a lot about lately. And that is the very fact that we as shepherd leaders need to think of ourselves not only as shepherd leaders in our churches, but it begins at home. You'll remember these verses from 1 Timothy chapter 3. Where it talks about the qualifications for leaders, for elders specifically. It's a trustworthy statement. If any man aspires to the office of overseer, it's a fine work he desires to do. An overseer then must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, temperate, prudent, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not addicted to wine or pugnacious, but gentle, peaceable, free from the love of money. He must be one who manages his own household well, keeping his children under control with all dignity. But if a man does not know how to manage his own household, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a new convert so that he will not become conceited and fall into the condemnation incurred by the devil. He must have a good reputation with those outside the church so that he will not fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. And what is of concern to me are those verses about managing one's own household well. For as we see, if that is not accomplished, then one is not qualified to shepherd the flock. So what I'd like to proceed with this morning is some conversation about leading the flock at home and how important that is. I think that we've seen quite clearly in other contexts as well how important that metaphor of shepherding is for caring for the Church of Jesus Christ. That covenantal relationship with God is the foundation for everything else that we do. It's also foundational for our leadership in the home. And the foundation of that covenant relationship is the whole idea of the knowledge of God. We are known by Him, and He knows us. And this speaks to the key aspect of relationship, our fundamental human desire to know and to be known. Remarkably, as we think about our relationships with others, the nagging question in our hearts is often, if you really knew me, would you love me? If you really knew me the way I knew me, know me, would you care for me? And the answer to that is given to us very graciously by our God, who knows all about us. He knows all our sins. He knows all our flaws. And yet He loves us. He loves us with an everlasting love. And so we have a relationship with Him. I will be your God, and you will be my people. In John 17:3, we read, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." We have the remarkable privilege of being in relationship, of knowing God and being known by Him. And as we consider our relationships and our families, we must take seriously the concept of knowing our wives and knowing our children. Inasmuch as marriage is designed to be the primary human relationship, in Genesis 2:24, we're told this cause a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Marriage is the most important human relationship that we have. It's described in the Bible also as a covenant. It's a relationship which is begun by sacred vows. It's a relationship that is sealed by the giving of covenant sign, the exchange of rings. It's a relationship that's designed to reflect the covenant relationship between God and his people, between Christ and his church. And therefore, as we reflect on that, how well do our marriages show the dynamic relationship that we have with the Lord? How clearly does our wife, does our relationship with our family show our knowledge of God? Marriage is also designed to be the most personal human relationship. There is to be no one more important in our lives than our wives. And when the scriptures talk about this relationship, it's not merely physical oneness, but it's talking about a comprehensive mutual relationship and knowledge that we have. So the Hebrew word translated know is often used to describe the sexual intimacy of marriage. It's designed also to characterize something that transcends the mere physical. There should be a mutual knowledge of one another that surpasses the knowledge that we have with anyone else. And I would ask you, as the shepherd leader of your home, is this the case? Do you really know one another? And the question is, how can you take the lead in this mutual knowledge that is the very heart of the marriage relationship? There are some very practical things that come to mind. If we think of the concept of union and communion, those things can be fostered and encouraged by several important things. One is the importance of communication in our marriage. It's ironic that, I think it's ironic, in a survey of 238 nations, Americans top all others in this category, people who tell their spouses, "I love you," every day. And yet, we have the highest divorce rate in the industrialized world. So it is not merely superficial communication that leads to the kind of mutual knowledge that is necessary. I mean, think about the communication patterns in your own life, in your own marriage. Sometimes they can be limited to the level of what I would call daily traffic. And these are important levels of communication, of course. What time are you getting home from work today? What are we having for dinner? All very important questions to answer. But unfortunately, they are superficial, and many times our communication rests and stops at that level. I think there are some questions that we could easily answer and some questions that perhaps might betray the lack of the depth of our communication and therefore the lack of knowledge of our spouses, for example. We might well know, what is your wife's favorite color? You might be able to come up with that pretty quickly. Or you might be able to come up with your wife's favorite food. I know my wife's favorite food is ice cream. That's one of the ways I won her in the first place. But what about these questions? What is your wife's biggest worry these days? What is her greatest concern for herself? What is her greatest concern for you? What is her greatest concern for your children? What sin does she struggle with the most? What unmet aspirations does she harbor? These are questions, if we can't answer, we must question the quality of the depth of our communication and the depth of our knowledge of this one who is to be one of our key sheep, our most important sheep. When is the last time you sat down with your wife and asked her the question, "How are you doing?" And even more importantly, perhaps, is a question that few of us may have the courage to ask, is to sit down with your spouse and ask, "How are we doing? How are we doing?" And perhaps the reason we don't ask the question is because we don't really want to know. But if we are to be shepherds of our flocks at home, these are questions we must ask. We should also be asking questions such as, how can I be praying for you these days? And then spend time praying together. This is the heart of communion. This is the heart of growing in our knowledge. And I would also suggest to you that it's important to continue to demonstrate sincere expressions of love. When's the last time you told your spouse that you love her? I had a case in my church a few years ago where I got a call from a couple, and they invited my wife and I over for dinner. And we figured there was something going on there. And after dinner, there was a pause, and I just asked, well, how are you two doing? And the wife said, well, Pastor Tim, I'm concerned because my husband never tells me that he loves me. And her husband got this incredulous look on his face. And he said to her, he said, I have no idea how you can say that. I must tell you that I love you at least twice a year. And I almost laughed out loud. No, we must be those who make it clear to our spouse all the time that she is the very, very most important person in our lives. And I get a kick out of shopping for cards at birthday time and Mother's Day. It's hard to pick up a card that doesn't say words like this. I know I don't tell you as often as I should. And I hope you don't need that. I hope you don't need that kind of a card. I hope that you will be demonstrating to your spouse all the time, in your words and in your deeds. So knowing your spouse, this heart of covenant relationship, requires your communication. It also requires your time and space. You cannot have that kind of communication and depth of relationship unless you set apart time and space. I say space because when there are kids around, you have to get time alone. And this takes an effort. This is all the more important when not only is your family crying out and demanding your time, but also are those in your ministry. Your wife must not feel neglected. She must not feel as though she gets the crumbs, but she must feel that and know that she is important by time you take alone that is not to be compromised. What that looks like in your case is up to you to decide, but you just have to ask her the question, are you demonstrating to your wife that she has priority in your life? Are you demonstrating in your relationship with your wife that she is the most important sheep of all? And what that does then is that impacts your relationship with your children. As your children see your relationship with your wife, they will be comforted, they will be encouraged, they will grow in their security. Because as Paul wrote, it's important to be leading in our household, keeping our children under control with all dignity. And in order to minister to our children, children are part of our flock at home. We must know them as well. Your relationship with your children teaches you what God is like. We've all heard stories about how difficult it is for some children to think about God as Father because of the manner in which their earthly father related to them. And unfortunately, there are far too many stories about PKs who were turned off to God and the church because of the neglect in their own lives by their own fathers. Knowing your children is extremely important. It's important so that you'll be able to carry out the other shepherding functions in their lives as well. And it's important too that you know them so that you will be able to lead and guide them. How will you be able to lead and guide your children in directions in the future unless you know their gifts, their talents, their passions, their aspirations? If we don't know them well, if we don't know what's good enough for them, we might well lead them in ways that are most pleasing to us. An example I used in class a couple weeks ago, what if you have a child who's been accepted to Westchester University, my alma mater, by the way, and Harvard? Now, as you know that child, you might know that that child's best interest will be served by going to Westchester and not Harvard. But if we don't really know our children, what are we going to most likely base that decision on? We're going to base that decision on what is most interesting to me. What am I going to want to tell my children or tell my friends, that my kid's going to Harvard or Westchester? Not to diss Westchester too badly, but the point is that unless we know our children, unless we know their gifts, unless we know their hearts, we're not going to be able to guide them and direct them. In order to protect them as our sheep, we also need to know them. Do you know their vulnerabilities and their weaknesses? Do you know how you need to express discipline in a way that's going to protect them in those areas of vulnerability? Do you know the areas of their lives in which they need very, very clear boundaries and upon which you need to keep watch? How well do you know your children? Well, it should be no surprise that knowing your children requires the same thing that is required in knowing your wife. It requires quality communication. And that can really be tough with children. If it's tough with wives, think how hard it is with children. I mean, you've got the daily traffic again. How was soccer practice today? Oh, soccer practice was fine. Did you win or lose? Oh, we won, kind of a thing. But we need that time to sit down with them and really to find out how they're doing. Find out what they're struggling with. Find out what challenges they're facing. Find out what they're thinking about God these days. If they are reflecting at all in their lives over God's place in their lives. And I think that the evidence has shown, and obviously this is not where this can stop, but it's a good start. Even secular research has shown how important it is to have meal times together. I mean, if there's a challenge these days to having time together, the old traditional evening meal together is being challenged as well with people's schedules. But the research has shown that families who have meal times together, the children grow up rather much better adjusted and much better oriented to life. And it's also a great time when you can work on those matters and those issues that come up from day to day. So I encourage you to think about that, but also to be setting apart time that you can spend individually with each child. Each child needs to know that they are unique, that they are a gift from God and uniquely gifted by God. And they need to know that you care about them and you're concerned about them. And as they do, they will learn about the care and concern for them by God. So what do you do individually with your children? You're going to go on a run, go on a bike hike, go on a walk, even traveling back and forth to their games and using that time in the car as valuable time for communication. And again, even asking them, how can I be praying for you these days? Let them know that you were concerned to shepherd them, to care for them. So this does obviously require your time. And those of us who have grown children understand that the time of your lives with your children goes by far too quickly. And this is time when you need to spend those precious moments with them. As Deuteronomy 6 says, as you're walking and as you're sitting, all throughout life, take them all as opportunities to reach out to them and to shepherd them. As the old saying goes, no one will put on their tombstone, I wish I had spent more time at the office. Or I wish I had spent more time preparing sermons. That will not be on anybody's tombstone. So what do we want our children to know about their Heavenly Father? That He loves them. He's made it possible for them to be in a relationship with them through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That He accepts us the way we are, but He doesn't intend to leave us that way. That He has a book of truth that will lead them and teach them and help them every day of their lives. That book, the Bible, is challenging, and there will be times that loving discipline will be necessary, but that He is quick to forgive. They'll learn that they're special to Him, and that He has given them gifts and talents. and that He has a plan for their lives. All these things our children will learn. And as we seek to be shepherds of our flock, don't underestimate the impact of being a loving shepherd father at home. Some years ago, the father of one of my elders used to come up from Florida to visit, and he would never want to go to church. He would always complain, but my elder and his wife said, "Look, if you're staying with us, you're coming to church." So he'd come to church, and he'd sit in the front row. And those of you who are preachers understand, you can tell pretty quickly who's paying attention. You can tell by their body language what's going on. He would sit there. They always sat in the front row, and he would sit there like this. Now, this is difficult body language for a preacher to embrace, but he'd sit there like this. But one of those Sundays after the service, as he was walking out, and then he was in tears. And he couldn't talk. And my elder said, "I'll tell you about that. I'll tell you about that later." So later I discovered what happened, that I'd begun a series on the Apostles' Creed. And I was preaching on "I Believe in God the Father." And I was talking about the glory of the adoption that we have through faith in Jesus Christ. And what I didn't know about that man was that his father had forsaken him when he was a child, and that he'd grown up in an orphanage. And the very fact that he could see for the first time that there was a Father in heaven who loved him unconditionally, it touched his heart, and it moved him. He did not come to Christ at that moment, but in the next couple of years, God got through to him. But I hope you can see, those of you who are shepherds now in the church, those of you who are striving and aspiring to be shepherds in the flock, I encourage you, I urge you, I implore you not to forget the priority of shepherding your flock at home. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come to you this morning aware of our shortcomings, aware of our failure to do that remarkable thing to which we're called, to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Father, please forgive us for that. Please forgive us for those times when we have placed the demands of work and ministry above that of care for our sheep at home. We thank you, O God, for the gift of marriage and children, and thank you also for your redeeming grace, which saves us and restores us, also convicts us and empowers us to change. I pray, O Lord, that our marriages would be such in ministry that would be models to our congregation. It will be a testimony in our communities, Lord. And we look to your grace and your strength and your help to bring this about. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.